Good morning. It's
Good
Mary
morning.
Jane from Pennsylvania.
Welcome.
Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Donna W. and I'm a recovered compulsive eater in California. Today is Thursday, January 15th, 2026. And today we are reading from the Big Book. And we are at page 13. Reading the paragraph that starts with, "My schoolmate visited me," through one paragraph ending, "to the utmost of my ability." And today's readers are, we have Kathleen C. for the 12 steps, Joanne L. for the 12 traditions, Chanel T. will be reading and commenting on the Big Book section today, Shelley E., Vision for You, Tara L. for the backup. We also have Alice G. as a newcomer greeter, and Leslie M. for announcements. And the share ID for Wednesday, January 14th, the 10 a.m. Eastern meeting is 23125. That's 23125. And for today, Thursday, January 15th, 7 a.m. Eastern time meeting is 23127. And that's 23127. The OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive eating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive eater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive eating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. And I now ask Kathleen C. to please read the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous.
Good morning, everyone. Kathleen C. from Connecticut, gratefully working these steps. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Step three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Step four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Step five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Step six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Step seven, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. Step eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Step 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. Step 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. Step 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Kathleen C. Next up is Joanne L. for the 12 traditions of OA.
Good morning, Donna. This is Joanne L. from Rhode Island. Good morning, everyone, and welcome, especially the newcomers. I am recovered, and again, it's Joanne L. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. One, our common welfare should come first. personal recovery depends upon OE unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you, and I pass.
Thank you, Joanne L. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Being on this a purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive eaters only. Our abstinence requirements for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today we resume our study of the Big Book, and we are on page 13, the third paragraph, starting with, my schoolmate visited me, through one paragraph ending, to the utmost of my ability. And I now ask Chanel T. to please read that section and comment on it for us.
Thank you, Donna. Thank you for your service. I'm Chanel T., grateful and recovered compulsive eater by the grace of God today, and I'm in Washington State. Okay, page 13, paragraph 3. My schoolmate visited me, and I fully acquainted him with my problems and deficiencies. We made a list of people I had hurt or toward whom I felt resentment. I expressed my entire willingness to approach these individuals, admitting my wrong. Never was I to be critical of them. I was to right all such matters to the utmost of my ability. Here we have Ebby with Bill. Bill with Ebby. This is not done in a vacuum. This is not done alone. And as a very strong-willed or hard-headed person myself, I had to reach the end of me, the end of Chanel's ideas of how to fix my problem, which I thought was the food. That's what I thought it was. I thought it was the weight. It wasn't until I realized it was a lot more than that, and those were symptoms. And that's where Bill has gotten. He got that way a while back. And we've been talking about that in these paragraphs where He was reaching the end of himself and his own ideas because nothing he did fixed the problem. Nothing I did fixed the problem. Even when I lost all the weight, it didn't fix the problem. Every time I still had this disease that I didn't want to acknowledge was a disease. So here he is, honest. He's open. He's willing. And it talks about we. He doesn't do this alone. He's making a list of the people he harmed. What's that? We're talking about after he admitted it. So he's done the fifth step where he admitted it to someone else, in this case, Ebby. He made a list of the people he harmed. What are we talking about? Step 8. I'm not worried about whether he's writing it in the order of what we now know as the steps. I don't think that matters. That's an academic exercise. But he does that. And to admit is one thing. To admit it to another human being, that is quite powerful for me. It's quite powerful to do it. It's quite powerful to hear it when I'm sponsoring. And it helps bring it to the light and not be hiding it, because in the disease, I lie. I lie to myself first and foremost, and I lie to everybody else at some level. I express my entire willingness, admitting my wrong, to approach these individuals. Never was I to be critical of them. So he is going to take full responsibility and make amends, step 9. I'm not going to, it doesn't matter what the other person did. It's my job to clean up my side of the street, not mitigate it, try to lessen it, try to explain it, try to excuse it. It's what did I do and how can I make it right to the best of my ability? And why is he willing? Because the disease has beaten him down to the point where he's surrendering either to the disease or to some kind of hopeful solution. And he chose the hopeful solution. And I do too. And I'm forever grateful for this program. I'm forever grateful for this book. And I'm forever grateful for the sponsors who've led me, guided me, and bear witness. I'm forever grateful for this meeting. With that, I will pass. Donna, we don't hear you.
I'm talking away. Thank you. Okay, now is the time for your shares. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So please share your first name, your last initial, and where you're calling from.
Hey, Julie B., Oregon.
Julie B.
Kara L., California.
Kara L.
Joy M. B., California.
Joy M. B. Oh,
Christina,
I can't hear
J,
that
Washington.
Last one.
Christina J. Washington.
Okay, thank you, Christina. But at Julie B. from Oregon, Kara L., California, Joy M. B., California, and Christina J. Washington. Anyone else want to join this lineup?
Rhonda N., Ohio.
Rhonda N.
Rhonda C. from Michigan.
Rhonda C., Michigan. Okay, great. So I've got Julie B., Kara L., Joy M. B., Christina J., Rhonda N., and then Rhonda C. So if everyone please mute except Julie B., and we'll get started, followed by Kara L.
Hi, thank you so much. This is Julie B. from Oregon, compulsive overeater and sugar addict. There are a lot of things in this program that I don't like to do, but I'm always glad when I do them, and this is one of them. I don't think of myself as somebody who would break into a museum and steal jewels or anything like that, but I'm an English professor and I love Greek literature. And many years ago, I went to the city of Troy And I climbed up the chariot ramp that Achilles had been on, and the splendor of, you know, 2,000 or 3,000 or 4,000 years of history in one place. And there were signs everywhere saying, you know, don't take anything. But I justified it to myself. Well, I'm an English professor. Well, I teach the elite. Well, I'm special, blah, 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 blah. And I'm sneaky. And I bent down, pretended like I was tying my shoes, picked up a piece of marble from the chariot ramp, stuck it in my shoe. And then later on, I put it in my purse. And that's kind of a great metaphor, because it was like having a pebble in my shoe all these years, feeling bad about what I did. It was talking to another fellow who had done kind of a similar thing and told me how she made amends that really inspired me to reach out to the managers of this international preserve site, and in an email that I had to translate into Turkish, told them what I did, apologized profusely, asked them if they wanted me to mail the stone back or what they wanted me to do, and their kind response was, please don't make a habit of doing this. We're okay that you have it. Next time you come visit us, please bring it home. And the relief and peace that I felt after that was incredible. It's like I've been walking around with this little stone in my shoe for years, and I'd finally been able to take it out. So I wouldn't have felt that peace without this program. And it's just a little thing. But that's no different from breaking into a museum and stealing jewels, really. It wasn't mine to take, and I knew it, and I was sneaky, and I hid it. I even bragged about it to people. So I'm grateful to this program. It makes me do things I don't want to do. Like, it's like brushing your teeth, and I always feel better afterwards. So thank you so much, and I pass.
Thank you, Julie E.B. from Oregon. Next up is Kara L., followed by Joy M.B.
Good morning, fellows. This is Kara L., recovered compulsive over from Long Beach, California. I love this five, you know, this step. My schoolmate visited me. I fully acquainted him with my problems and deficiencies, you know, the first step of honesty for me. I did, you know, this didn't come in one fourth step. I've done several over the years, and each time, you know, it felt good. And the last time I did it, I remember saying, God, just have me put down here everything that needs to be said now, right? And I let the pen flow, and whatever came up is what I and in the past, I worried I hadn't done it right or hadn't done it enough. This time, I just was like, I'll put down whatever, God, whatever you need me to see, you know, and then made the list. Yes, I have made amends. And to certain people in my life, you know, like my partner, you know, I continue to have to make amends, right? It's really hard with those sometimes that are, they're closest to me, because I feel that moral rightness, that righteous, you know, anger or whatnot sometimes. And I'm like, that does not serve me. So I had to, you know, express my entire willingness to approach these people, admit my wrong. Ooh, never was I to be critical of them. I was to right all such matters to the utmost by building. Oh, but I love to be critical of you, because then I'm not wrong. And I don't like to be wrong, because if I'm wrong, you know, then the whole world's going to fall apart, don't you know? And recovery today looks like, oh, I'm upset. Let me write it out in a step 10 inventory so I can see why I'm so upset and where generally a lot of times I'm wrong, you know, and then go ahead and make that amend. And the lightness I feel, instead of the fear of being wrong, and the lightness of just being okay being wrong, right? And today I'm going to choose lightness. Sometimes it's harder to get to. sometimes I want to sit on that righteous anger or that resentment because I know I'm right, but it is not serving. And I got to say, God, I have a fixed mindset here. Please, I really don't want to make this a name. Can you show me a way? Can you show me a way how I may be of service? Keep me from getting angry. Your will be done. And the lightness comes. The ease and grace come. I can do it my way, which is sharp-edged and difficult. Or I can do it with my higher power and the help of other fellows in this community. And I'm grateful for that today, and I'll pass.
Thank you, Kara L. in California. Next up is Joy M. B. in California, followed by Christina J. And Joy M. B., please unmute yourself. A star one.
I can hear it now. Do you hear me now?
I can hear it. Yes.
I am Joy M. B. from California. In recovery, praise God, having made it through Christmas without a fight outside of my realm. I must say that this is not for the faint of heart. This making amends, as my sponsor led me through, she was really clear about the fact that making amends means not only do you have to undo what you did, but you can't do it again. This sounds easy, and this is something that stalls a lot of people, but I will tell you, after you've done it, it cleans up your side of the highway, and you feel 100% better. But more importantly, you are much more able to sift through the food and not to stick your hands out for something you shouldn't have. You stop raiding the refrigerator. In my case, it constituted my inviting the partner of one of my adult children to the holiday meals and holiday events that I had for more than 8 years forbidden him to bring. And let me say this about that. I've never done anything so difficult, I don't think, one of the most difficult things in my life. But praise God, praise my higher power, because I feel so much better today. Food is no longer my lover, my friend, my everything. I know that you can't have more than one God, and it cannot be sugar. And so I am really grateful for the vision program and for the step that has us make these amends. As difficult as it is, it turns some people away. Don't let it turn you away if you're approaching it. Because if you can get through it, and higher power will guide you through it, it will be one of the most profound actions you will ever take in your life. And it will mean a different life for you. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Joy M. B. in California. Next up is Christina J. in Washington, followed by Rhonda N.
Good morning, everyone. Christina J. in Washington. You know, it's bad enough when we go through 4 and 5 where we have to write down our resentments and then say, oh, well, what was my part? Oh, my goodness, right? I didn't know it was going to be about my part. So that's the first humble, right? That's the first humble. This is the big humble right here. Because we can just tell that to our sponsor and go on our merry way. Try to change our lives and so on and so forth. And, you know, it could have stopped with, well, now you just make a living amends and you just ask God for forgiveness for all the people you've hurt. You don't have to just keep going being a better person. But no, the big book requires, the steps require that we go and we take the big bite of the humble pie. And this is it. This is the big bite. And my sponsor said to me, there's going to be some you're not going to want to do. I want you to make little cards. Put the ones first, fill out the cards first with the ones you will do, the next with the maybes, and the next group will be, I'm not doing these. I laugh at myself. And then over time, as you do them and you realize, what healing they're going to be doing in you. You become more and more willing to do the maybes, and then God gives you the grace and the courage to do the I'm never doing these. I worked at a big corporate place once, and every morning before everyone got there, I used to go around and raid all the candy jars and look in their desks to see if they had any special things hidden. I mean, it hurts my heart really bad to think of it now. And I found some homemade candies in one of the person's desk that they had been made especially for her, and I was in such a state of relapse, and you know how it is, those cravings, and I took them, and I thought, this isn't going to be a good thing, you know. And the person came to my office a couple weeks later, and she said, do you know what someone did? And she explained the whole thing to me, and I was just sitting there, lividly red as a beet, and terrified, because I knew someday I was going to have to make amends to her, because I had already done this a couple times. And so I did make amends to her, but that was one of the smaller things I did in my life, but I was scared to death, shaking in my boots, because those were special to her. So, but it humbled me. It humbled, and it drives down into our bones how deeply this thing has us, which fascinates me, because here was Bill, right? Big ego, big everything, had success and la la la. And this thing took him to the ground and buried him, and he was ready to die. How far are we willing to go to really get this? What steps are we willing to take to be free of this effing disease that kills our lives and makes us hurt people and others? Not willingly most of the time, because our food makes us do things we'd never want to do. It makes us individuals we'd never want to be. How willing are we to do this and to not get the food down and then suddenly have, oh, the big cloud and I don't have to do this, is hard and all that? Do it. Do it. Do it all the way through, because that's when the miracles happen. Love you. I pass.
Thank you, Christina J. in Washington. Next up is Rhonda N. in Ohio, followed by Rhonda C. And then we will open up after Rhonda C. But in the meantime, let me just remind everyone, we are on page 13 in the third paragraph, starting with, my schoolmate visited me, finishing with utmost of my ability. Go ahead, Rhonda N.
Good morning, everyone. This is Rhonda N. from Ohio. I really appreciate the shares this morning. I am a compulsive overeater, and I've been in the program for probably this time around 8 years with many relapses. But going through the steps many times, it's a sloughing away of sorting out my part that I need to make amends for. And I found a lot of mine to be about blaming others, and then over blaming myself to the degree where, you know, I thought I had to be perfect, and then I would go deeper down emotionally. But I'm learning that I'm not a bad person just because I've made mistakes. Program's helping me to sort things out and realize that I learn from my experiences, and sometimes I have to repeat them, and those are just patterns that repeat until I become willing to do it a little bit better each time. And it's a process, and I can't do it without God. I can't do it without you all, and I can't do it without my daily practice of meditation and asking for help with being abstinent from my higher power. So important. Appreciate all the shares and making amends. I've had to learn to let go of outcomes, because there have been times when I needed to talk to my sponsor first about it, and I would just rush right into the amends and then get in more trouble when it wasn't really appropriate. So I certainly recommend that everyone talk to their sponsor about what you're really trying to be sorry for, and is it a self issue or is it an other issue? I mean, it's always a self issue as far as my part, but learning to change that and see it differently and live it differently. That's the goal, the living amends. I'm so grateful that life is improving with the program. Thank you all for listening. And I pass.
Thank you, Rhonda N. in Ohio. Next up is Rhonda C. and I think it was Michigan. And then we'll open up the line for more shares. Go ahead, Rhonda C.
Hi, good morning. My name is Rhonda, and I am a compulsive overeater from Michigan. First time on the line today. I appreciate you guys being here. I do listen to the, you know, the recordings and whatnot, but I thought, well, today I'm going to be a little bit different, and then I'll be brave and actually claim my seat. So here I am. You know, sometimes I feel unfortunate that I have this disease of compulsive overeating, but then I try to flip it into the gratitude of, you know what, I'm thankful that I have a solution, and it's found here in the steps. It's found here in this big book that we're talking about, and what gratitude I have for this program and for all of you that are out there, and to know that I'm not alone going through multiple relapses, and I keep coming back. I've been in program since 22, and it's a wonderful program, and it works if you work it, you know, like it says, you know, half measures availed us nothing. Well, I can see if I don't put the action into my program, then things don't go according to plan. So, but going into that paragraph, you know, I expressed my willingness to approach these individuals and then never to be critical of them. And boy, is that difficult, because I so want to say, but only if you would have, or if you wouldn't have done this, I wouldn't, you know, that's not the way that these are outlined for us. And to not respond with an emotional upset, is challenging, but it can be done. And then my sponsor suggested that I ask that they, after I make my amends, instead of saying I'm sorry, I said I was sorry, ask them to please, would you forgive me? You know, because it kind of gives them a minute to think about what has ensued and what I'm trying to get at here. And I'm trying to change my behaviors too, right? So like someone else just said earlier, you know, it's not about the food. It's about me and on the inside of me and my thought process and my obsessions and, you know, just trying to change my behaviors to be better than it was yesterday. So thankful that I'm not alone today, and thank you all for being here. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Rhonda C. in Michigan, and thanks for jumping in and being brave. And who else wants to jump in and be brave, even if it's your first time sharing?
Margaret.
Larry G.
Got a Margaret and a Larry.
Lisa.
Lisa.
Joe H.
Joe H.
Diane.
Or
Julie.
Diane.
Julie P.
And Julie. Okay, let me just pause there. That was a Paul. Okay, I had a Margaret. I didn't get anyone's last names or places of where they are calling from, so please share that when you speak. So I have a Margaret, Larry G, California, Lisa, Joe H, Diane, Julie, and Paul.
That was Mo H.
Mo H. Thank you, Mo.
Okay.
All right. Anyone? Did I get that right? Okay, so everyone except Margaret, please mute yourself. And Margaret, please share where you're calling from.
Good morning. This is Margaret O. From Connecticut, currently in California. Thank you for your service this morning and everyone doing service. And hello to all the newcomers. You know, I was writing some notes and they're kind of all over the place, but yeah, never was I to be critical of them. You know, I was to write all such matters to the utmost of my ability. You know, I did a 10th step a couple of days ago. In fact, I had a phone call with one of my siblings and it generated 3 10th steps. And thanks to the person who took all 3 of them, but in the process of that, I mean, it was like a gut punch. It was so painful to feel the way I felt and to get it all out on 10 steps. But, you know, I the next day I was driving in the morning and I thought, I could just got this glimpse of what life would be like if I left all the old hurts of the past behind me. Like, it was like looking out onto a vista, you know. And because whenever I do a 10th step, there's inevitably, I check that character defect of holding on to a resentment. And, you know, I got this glimpse, momentary glimpse. Like there would be this lightness and this total clear path forward. And I really want that. So, you know, and fourth steps, I've done several and I'm open to doing more. And I loved what someone said earlier, you know, write down whatever you need me to see God, you know, just to get with God and to get honest. But, you know, when I do these 10 steps, I see where I'm wounded. And that is my work, you know. I mean, if there's something there's something I need to grieve. And I'm just like in my own process here, like, okay, so feel it, grieve it, move forward. And then practice the opposite. You know, I'm wounded. I do a lot of comparing. I do a lot of competing. I'm always trying to prove myself and be right. And just show up as I am, you know, warts and all, and don't compete, don't compare, you know, just live in joy. You know, I mean, I've got this kind of like sulky attitude, like this self-pity, I'm holding back, I'm not all in, you know. And what would the opposite of that be? It would be just to step out into joy and gratitude and look around and, oh my gosh, there's palm trees and blue sky. I'm not in Connecticut where there's snow and it's 23 degrees. You know, I just really want to live in that space, and I know my higher power can get me there. So that's about all I have. Thanks.
Thank you, Margaret O. in Connecticut. Next up is Larry G. from California, and followed by Lisa. Please go ahead, Larry.
Good morning, everybody. Thank you, moderator. My name is Larry G. from California, and yes, this program does produce a lot of joy. It's no longer work for me. I do live in a place of joy, and there's nothing that, for me, that brings more joy than cleaning out my side of the street, making amends. When I'm done making amends, it's like almost like I'm levitating off the ground. If you're new on this call and you feel like you want to leave now, that this is just too much for you, and you want to go out and buy a self-help book, just a quick reminder, there's 8 steps before the 9th step, and a lot can happen, truly, a lot can happen in a change of outlook and psychological outlook and attitude adjustment can happen before you get to that 9th step, so don't leave until the miracle happens. I think this is a step that you really want a seasoned sponsor, and I have great sponsors who have kept me from creating more harm. For example, I wouldn't send someone out if they had an affair, for example. I wouldn't send someone out to make amends for the person they had an affair with. Not only that would be, that might put that person in a compromising position if they're in another relationship, but also it might be triggering for the person going out to make an amends or the person they're making amends to. If somebody has been, if crimes of humanity have been committed against this person, you're not going to send that person out to make an amends to the perpetrator. And I actually have heard some stories about this that just like curl my toes. That it's not because the person is cruel or mean. It's just you just need, I think, a seasoned sponsor to take you through this. And final thought, some lessons I'm learning here. You know, Bill is getting into the steps, man. He's out there. I think he started doing this 3 days after he was in hospital, and it kind of blows up our notion of, you know, having to have a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, a month of absent before you start to go out and work in steps. So this is a good, great lesson for me. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Larry G. in California. Next up, we have Lisa, followed by Mo H.
Hi, thank you. This is Lisa W. from Denver, Colorado. And I love that we're talking about this today. You know, the first sentence says that Bill acquainted Ebby with his deficiencies, and that, of course, implied that he did some kind of inventory to get to them. And today, it really resonates for me. I had been, I just got out of a really difficult work situation, and I had been doing inventories throughout it. And I sort of thought I was done with my inventories, and I've just been, I haven't been working, left that job, and I've been kind of nursing my wounds. And I was reminded today by a spiritual teacher that I follow about that, you know, sometimes when I'm down, sometimes it's there's resentments lurking in there. And I think it's something else. I think it's depression, or I think it's sadness. And I was reminded, oh, when I do an inventory, everyone's been talking about lightness, and that's just so true about miracle that happens when I write it all out. I look at what, you know, what has been offended in me. I say the prayers, and then I look at my, I mean, I had so many things to write out. I thought, I haven't put this behind me. It's all still there. And I listed out my character defects or character defenses. I heard someone say the other day, I loved that. And I'm really looking forward to talking to my sponsor tonight about it. And because there's, you know, someone mentioned something about a sponsor, and it's like, there's so many things I don't see, you know, loving things and also things that are hard to hear. And I really need someone, I need other people in this walk, especially people who know me well and who can give me that honest feedback. And so I went ahead and did it this morning, and the spiritual teacher was like, every day you need to be doing this. And I was like, oh my God, I have not been doing my 10 step disciplines every day. And, you know, and that I can clear out and I can feel light every day. If I do those. So really grateful to hear Experience, Strength, and Hope about that. I'm not, I don't have amends to give yet, but we'll see what my sponsor, I had made definitely amends when I was working there. But, you know, I'm open to whatever my higher power says through her, because I want lightness and I want joy and I want to be free, and I love, I wrote down what someone says, how much work do I want to do? How far are we willing to go to be free? So, so grateful today for the program and for you all, and I will pass. It's Lisa W. in Denver.
Thank you, Lisa W. So next up, I have Mo H., followed by Diane, and then we only have 5 more minutes. So Julie and Paul, it looks like you won't make today's lineup, so please call again. And tomorrow, go ahead, Mo H.
Hey, good morning, Donna. This is Mo H. calling in from Walnut Creek, California. Thank you for your service to this meeting and all those giving service. So what I read here, what words jumped out at me is I fully acquainted him with my problems and deficiencies. And I don't think on my very first ninth step or fourth step that I fully acquainted my sponsor, because I was still in the shame and the guilt of the disease and of some things that I had held on to and done wrong. But, you know, over the years that has slowly come about. And I, you know, the ninth step is never over. And I loved what someone said to the newcomer, don't be scared by this. You're going to be going through the first 8 steps before you get here. And being clean, it's much easier to go ahead with this step. At least it was for me, because I knew that whatever was said on the other side, I was cleaning up my side. And recently I had a fender bender with another car. I was backing out of a parking space and she was driving right behind me. And the woman didn't notice the dent I did in her car, or the smudge I did on her car, the three sides. And so I didn't say anything. And I went home and, oh my God, you know, it just was bothering me so much. And it was at a place where I volunteered. So the next time I went in, I went up to the woman and I said, I need to talk to you. And I told her, making amends. And I said, here's my insurance card, and, you know, gave her all the information, and I'm willing to pay for a rental car and pay out of pocket if, you know, blah, blah, blah. And she said, follow me. And I followed her out to her car. Well, her husband had buffed the whatever I did clean. And man, the freedom I felt after that, and the ability to see her every time I work in the store, you know, and feel free and not guilty. I mean, oh man, you know, I still have to make amends. They're coming up, you know, here and there. So I have to be careful. And with my higher power, with God on my side, with all of you, and with abstinence, this program works. And with that, I pass. Thank you, Donna.
Thank you, Mo H. in California. Next up is Diane. And you've got about 2 minutes, Diane.
Hi, good morning, Diane D., Northern California. What a wonderful meeting. And thanks for moderating. I actually love the steps of Alcoholics Anonymous. You know, sometimes I don't realize how free I am, not only from the food, but from all the wrongs. And for me, it will always go back to, and I'm a recovered compulsive eater. It would always go back to, you know, I had, they have three kids, and when they were young, you know, I just sat there and thought about food all the time, you know, going to the pantry, and it's binging, purging, binging, purging. I was not emotionally available. How do I right that wrong? Well, you know, I find out I have a disease. Now my children are, my girls are adults. A couple of them have this disease. We have one in 12 step, and you know, I have the pleasure of talking to them every day because of living amends and going through the past. You know, my dad was a compulsive eater. This is an inherited disease for me. I already know that, and I'm so grateful to be here. You know, the fact that I would even say I love making amends. Of course, it's hard to do it, and even 10 steps, but. You know, it, right when I'm wrong, you know, promptly admitted it. Sometimes I don't see my part. It takes a while, and that's why we have the continuation of inventory. So inventory is everything for me, taking a look at myself and trying to be the best person I can so I can practice these principles in all my affairs. And I'm delighted to say that I have almost 7 months abstinence this time because of working the steps through the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous, and I'm sponsoring, and that's just the greatest joy of my life. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Diane B. in California, and I thank everyone for your shares today. Thank you, and I'd also like to thank Team Thursday, Kathleen C., Joanne L., Chanel T., Shelley E., Tara L., Alice G., and Leslie M. So we will now close the reading. With the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And so we've got Shelley E., please read A Vision for You. Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Thanks so much. Thanks for moderating for us today. And hello to the newcomer. The Big Book, page 164. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is a great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then. Thank you for letting me do service, and I pass.